Attention musicians, wouldn't you like to hear your music on vinyl, even if it was just one copy of one of your favorite albums that never came out on vinyl? Well, you can do it, and our friends at Austin Signal can help you. Austin Signal is a high-quality recording studio and vinyl cutting facility located just 15 minutes outside of Austin. In addition to traditional modern recording services, the studio also specializes in some very unique offerings, including short-run vinyl production, single mic recording, and direct-to-disc recording. Gang, I've done it, and it sounds great. Just go to austinsignal.com, click on the How Did I Get Here on their menu, or follow the link in the text of this podcast. When you get there, enter promo code HDIGH for 10% off vinyl cutting. That's right, 10% off with the promo code HDIGH. Today's featured vinyl cut from Austin Signal is Cracks in the Ceiling by artist Griffin Robillard. Let's get down. Johnny, I'm your host. Welcome to the show. I hope you guys have all had a great week, whatever it is you're doing, and you're sailing into Labor Day weekend in style. I hope you're planning something great for Labor Day weekend. I don't have any great plans. I mean, they're great to me. They don't sound great, I think, to a stranger, but here's what's going on. Skyrocket isn't playing, and I've been kind of on a roll working on tunes. I think I'm going to stay at home, hunker down, and write some songs. That's going to be my jam, because, you know, I do write songs. I do a lot of other stuff. I've had a really busy week. Oh, speaking of writing songs, I was on a singer-songwriter with Tom Meaney. That's Tom Meaney's new podcast. I'm on episode 9. So far, it's taken off, man. People are talking about it. It's going off. He had me on. We had a really long conversation, and he edited the shit out of it, which is great, because I was very tired. I had played in Richmond the night before with Skyrocket, and I hadn't slept very much. And I went in and drank a bunch of coffee, and we talked for like 2.5 hours, and he edited it down to just over an hour. But check it out, man. Tom Meaney, his podcast is called Singer-Songwriter with Tom Meaney. Check it out. I'm on episode 9. I had a great time, played a song on there, and yeah, it was great. Some of you know that I work with the Austin Music Foundation, and I'm a mentor in the Artist Development Program, and we just started the Artist Development Program last week. That's where we pick out 7 artists or bands or whatever that we feel like are on the verge of taking a next step in their career. And then we put them through 6 months of like classes and then like one-on-one meetings with me and the other 2 mentors, my dear friend Einar and Alex Vallejo. Anyway, so we had all of our one-on-one meetings with all 7 artists this week, and they were long, and there was a lot of note-taking. We had to learn about where they're at so we can plan a path for them, but it's very exciting. And I'm looking forward to the next 6 months working with these artists. It's going to be great. It's going to end with a big show over there at Antone's in January. You can come out. It's called The Next, and all 7 bands play. They all play like 15-minute sets. Very exciting. I'll keep you updated about it. If you want to know more about the Austin Music Foundation, go to austinmusicfoundation.org and get involved. This weekend, I am going to be sitting around writing songs, being a songwriter. That's going to be my jam. And next week, I'm going to go see the world premiere of this movie called Empty Nester's Handbook. And today, I have a very special show for you today. Today, the writer-director of Empty Nester's Handbook, David N. Reyes, and its 2 stars, Laura Francis and my dear friend and Skyrocket partner, Darren Murphy, they're all on the show today. The world premiere is next Wednesday, September 4th at Alamo Drafthouse Mueller for the Austin Revolution Film Festival. However, that show has been sold out. So they've added a second screening Thursday, September 5th at Crown Plaza Austin Hotel. You can go to austinrevolution.com to get tickets to that. Now, Empty Nester's Handbook is up for a lot of awards at the Austin Revolution Film Festival. David N. Reyes is up for Filmmaker of the Year, Best Texas Feature, Best Writer-Director, Best Produced Script Feature. Darren and Laura are up for Best Actor and Best Actress. Stephanie Slayton, who plays Darren's sister in the movie, is up for Best Actress. This movie's really, really good. He sent me a link to it. I got to watch it, but I'm also going to the premiere next Wednesday, and I'm very excited about it. I'm very proud of Darren. He did a really great job. And David did it. These are great stories. It's actually the continuation, sort of a sequel to the movie My Ranger, which you can find on Amazon Prime and Vimeo On Demand right now. And it won a lot of awards. It won Best in Fest at Austin Indie Fest. Anyway, the story My Ranger is about a family. It's about a young man who's coming of age and he wants a car. He gets a car. He falls in love. And his parents are Benjamin and Sarah. And that's Laura and Darren. And in Empty Nester's Handbook, the story continues, but now we follow the story of Benjamin and Sarah and how they're handling their kids being gone from their house, essentially dealing with an empty nest. And they go through all of the emotions, and they figure out who they are as a couple after their kids are gone. Now, this is a real deal story. It's not like a superhero story where there's a bunch of people in tights and shit's exploding everywhere. This is a real story that people are going through all the time, and I really connected with it. I connected with the characters. I connected with David's story, and everyone did a really, really good job. And I was very, very excited to see the movie. After I watched it, I'm a big fan of My Ranger, and I'm saying you can literally watch it now. It's available on Amazon Prime for free. If you have Amazon Prime, go check out My Ranger. You'll love it. It's a really good story, and it's a really good movie. And then Empty Nester's Handbook just adds to that, and it's very fun to go and see these people and see how they deal with their lives after their kids are gone. So, without further ado, please enjoy my conversation with the writer-director David N. Reyes and the stars of Empty Nester's Handbook, Laura Francis and Darren Murphy. Let's get down.
Come to pass, and how they pass so fast without blinding. You can see them shining.
Yeah, I had her super wide, and so she just like just keep it here and hold in this direction. She thought she was gonna get to dance all night, but it's like, nope, you have to work tonight, babe.
I'm glad she didn't dance. That'd be some crazy footage. I got to spend a little time with David before you guys got here. And is he this mellow on the set and everything?
Yes.
This is like, there's no, it's not a freak.
Oh, yeah.
No.
Doesn't freak out?
I mean, except for those times he threw things. No, just kidding. You know, he's very mellow all the time.
He's always got the poker face on.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Except when I'm just with me and my wife. And then it's, yeah, she knows all my faces and like, she's the one that says calm the hell down and everything. So, but yeah, she sees everything. But when it comes to these guys, I hope they don't see anything. So that was my plan.
That's good.
Yeah.
That's good. There are people that are famous for freaking out. I've heard what's Michael Bay is like a guy that screams at people in 2 inches from their face and stuff.
Oh, and John Ford, I don't know if you ever heard stories of him. He was a horrible, horrible person. Great filmmaker, but yeah, horrible person. If you're punching Henry Fonda, you're a horrible person.
Mm. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean,
was it Sons of Katie Elder? Was that his?
No.
Okay.
No, he was like The Searchers, Mr. Roberts, and so
okay.
He was like a lot of John, you know, John Wayne stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. She Wore Yellow Ribbon, that stuff. So.
The movie is fantastic.
Well,
yeah,
thank you.
I really enjoyed it.
Thank you.
Yeah. When did you see it?
I watched it yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it was great. I actually did it as a double feature. I watched My Ranger again because I saw it back when it first came on Amazon Prime and you told me about it. And I loved that movie too.
Sweet.
Yeah, and I loved the continuation of it in the sort of like knocked up This Is 40 kind of thing where you took the characters that weren't, because they didn't even go in your room in My Ranger, right?
Right.
Like, you didn't even go in the parents' bedroom. You guys were going in the kids' bedrooms and in the common places.
And that was a great observation, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I really loved that about the continuation of those movies. Like, I liked taking the characters that weren't the main people and you learn more about them as it goes on, which I thought was fantastic.
Well, the thing we discovered when we did My Range is we really loved the chemistry between these two.
Yeah.
And so my wife Lisa and I were going through that process of empty nesters, and so we wanted to do a story about that. And so since we have this pairing and we really liked what they had on screen together, we wanted to jump into another project, and that's where it came from.
So it was something you were going through. Yeah. You were working it out in the movie.
Before the movie.
Did you drink a whole bunch then after that?
And still, you know, because what happened was, and, you know, we were having dinner, we were doing that thing where you sit across the table from somebody and there's nothing, there's silence. And you think, is this what our lives are going to be like? We're going to be that couple that just goes out and they just order and they don't talk to each other.
Yeah.
Is this going to be my life? And I kind of freaked out. And so I kind of created all these other ideas in my head, and it all came from that moment of sitting at a table for 10 minutes without talking. So.
Wow.
Came from fear.
Was that after you did My Ranger?
It was after. Okay. Yeah, because I knew I wanted to work with these guys again. And I knew I had the idea of the title, Empty Nesters Handbook. We had that, but I didn't know where I was going with it. And then I had that moment, and then it just kind of blew up from there.
Yeah.
So,
were you guys excited about getting to explore those characters even more?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Anytime somebody hands you a script and says, hey, I wrote this for you, you're like, what?
That's pretty amazing.
Okay.
You do a lot of work, Laura, and you're really awesome. You're an amazing actor.
Oh, thanks.
And there's a lot of great face stuff. And I especially like both of you. Didn't you guys both imitate the cat after the cat saw you guys get it on?
We did.
Yes, her cat is way better than my cat, I think.
Is your cat still the cat from the... Yeah. Cats live forever, man. That was like 20 years ago. Darren had a cat that like was stuck on the screen, and we had a friend that was like, hey, dude, your cat's freaking out on the screen.
Well, we have four cats and a dog, and we tell, when you come to the set, they're going to go wild. I mean, they're going to be walking around, so they're part of the movie. They're part of the house. So just go with it. And they all did. I mean, there was like scenes where Buckaroo, our dog, would go in and out, and they went with it because that was what the house was like. That's what the home of Ben and Sarah was going to be.
Yeah.
And so they were cat noises, and they rolled with it because that was our environment.
Yeah.
So.
There was a dog nosing at the sound guy as he hid down low.
There's like the opening scene where you know they're in the bedroom, and I just wanted loud noises.
Yeah,
and Buckaroo was downstairs and he hears the noises, and this is unrehearsed or whatever. He just started barking like crazy because he heard the noises and everything. And so as we're recording, you know, I had to stop from laughing because I wanted it. But it was like so crazy with, you know, she's and him were making these noises, and all of a sudden this dog is downstairs howling, and it's like that would happen. So thank God, you know, it happened.
Yeah. I the last actor that I spoke to was Ben Dickey, and I didn't know Ben. I had only seen Blaze, so I didn't. I was kind of scared of him when I met him, but he was a really nice guy. But it's awesome to see your friend on screen and doing that. But then there's like these sex scenes where you're like, this is really not something I wanted to see a deer do. But it was still great. Yeah, it's
not really. Good.
Yeah.
First of all, I applaud you for just doing the double feature thing because, you know, we're in a band together. And the last thing you want to do on your day off is see me for 4 hours.
I love seeing you. Yeah. Oh, there is something I did want to ask. Was the AJ and Johnny, did you write that in? That they're your friends, AJ and Johnny?
Was that part of the script?
I did. You did? Okay. Because one of my best friends is AJ.
No.
Yeah. I thought that was weird.
I like that name.
So. Yeah. It's a good name.
Yeah.
AJ's over here a lot.
AJ's over here a lot.
Cooking.
We have a cooking show together.
Oh.
That's why I thought. I was like, I wonder if he was like making fun. Yeah. Right. If he was fucking making fun of me and AJ.
No.
I'm just joking. But
I will say that Johnny came from you, though. Yeah, there's a Johnny. Yeah, there's a Johnny there. Yeah.
Yeah.
That was Johnny. Yeah, there's you, though. Yeah.
You're saying that now.
No, I'm not. Because, like, what I do is, like, when I am creating characters, I basically go through Facebook. And I just...
Oh, that's good.
That's a good name.
Oh, that's the scene where she's talking about...
Your friends.
Yeah, you got friends. Yeah. I got AJ and Johnny. They're my work friends.
That's right.
Yeah. You're about to go through... I mean, maybe about to go through as an empty nesting situation. Did this help you in any way?
Prepare Well, yeah.
Yeah?
It did, yes. Now, the thing about me is that I have an only child. So the empty nesters thing happens like the one time.
Oh, right.
And you deal with that.
Yeah.
And I get the feeling that Ben and Sarah... have like these, because they have two kids, they have, you know, each experience, each kid that leaves the nest is kind of unique to the other.
Right.
Yeah. So, and this is the second kid where you probably kind of know there's, you know, both of us have some sort of anticipation of what, you know, of what the other person's going to feel, what we're going to feel.
Right.
And of course, you know, nothing ever goes down like you think it does.
Right. Right.
I guess the short answer is yes.
Yeah.
It helped. The long answer, no, not at all.
Now you can totally recruit David to take you out and do a montage of you and Sasha in Austin.
And there you go.
And you'll be like golden.
Exactly. There you go. Bonus video. Your reaction when he goes, it was not expected and really made me laugh. That it's like, yes! Finally got your freedom and excitement. Are you a mom?
I am a mom, yeah.
And how does your...
He's 10. Yeah, 10? We're far. He's almost 11, but yeah, far from gone. Actually, he tells me he's never leaving and that I will be coming with him when he goes.
That can be
he's also an only child,
and scary. Yeah. It's comforting and scary, right?
Yeah, right now I'm like, oh, that's sweet. Yeah, you better not change your mind. But I'm sure he will. That will be sad.
Yeah.
When he tells me to get out.
No, he won't tell you to get out.
I hope not.
I hope not.
In college, while he's trying to have girls over, and I'm like, hi, honey.
At some point, you got to leave to have your freedom again, right? You guys are up for a lot of awards at the Austin Revolution Film Festival, like a lot of awards. Both of you guys are up for actor awards. You're up for writer-director. It's up for best Texas feature, best writer-director, best produced script feature, and even the sister...
I feel like they made up some awards just to give David awards. Do you feel like that?
I thought that there was a lot of awards in that thing. Like when I was I went to their website and was looking at the awards and I was like, there's a lot of awards.
Yeah, there is. But, you know, honestly, in the past, they've had soundtrack awards and I wanted that one. I wanted the soundtrack thing and they don't do that anymore because they've actually whittled them down this year because this guy over here... has a great addition to the soundtrack that I love. Maybe I'm jumping ahead of your script there.
No.
But I wanted that so much to be recognized. And so we'll find other ways to do it. But yeah, I wanted that.
You focus a lot. And even in My Ranger, when Darren's talking to the kid and he's like, if your girlfriend... or if the girl you like likes local music, then she's cool.
Yeah.
There's a lot of... I mean, it's all local music, right? You got Shiny Ribs on that one. You
on
got
Ranger,
Darren on
this
one, yeah.
Yeah.
And Cotton Mather's on the other one, too.
Yeah.
You have a lot of local brands. So we talked earlier, and you said you used to work for KVU. I was on your show in the mid-90s. What was it called?
Musician Audition. So,
that was where you and I first met.
That's where I met Darren the first time. It's just... I just... met a bunch of awesome musicians and I fell in love with what they do. And you being one of them is like how they contribute to this community. And I kept in touch with a number of them. And so now that I'm doing film, I reached out to them and say, hey, I'm making this thing. Can I use this film? Like in our first film, Trip to the Altar, I love the song by David Garza, Come On.
Yeah.
And I reached out to him and he let us use it, a toots and a holler. And so I always want to have Austin flavor in our films.
Yeah.
And music is the best way to do it other than locations. And so, because I think there's a different Austin sound. And so I try to capture that by, you know, making these relationships and bringing them into the film.
Right. And it does reflect because like any kind of like product in the, I'm trying to get where this guy's windshields isn't reflecting.
Let me close it for you.
Yeah. Do you mind? Thanks, man. It really does add to the Austin-ness of the movie. How long have you lived here, Laura?
10 years this time, and then I did 2 years previous to the move back.
Okay. Where'd you go?
I moved here in 2001, and I went to New York and then LA and then back to Austin.
For acting?
It was a long story.
Okay.
But no.
When did you first want to be an actor?
I wanted to be an actor forever, but I was very intimidated and very non-competitive. So the whole, I lived in New York and LA, and it felt very competitive to me. And I was like, I'm out. Yeah. No, you guys do it. People ask, what do? And I was like, nothing. I wasn't vibing with it. And then I moved to Austin and had a little baby. And one of the first moms I made friends with was like, you're adorable. We should be friends. And then like on our first lunch together, she was an actress and she goes, you should act. And I was like, oh my God, I've always wanted to hear that. Like, you're the first person who didn't say, what do? Like, intimidate me out of it. And so,
So it's just over the last 10 years?
Yep.
Wow, that's amazing.
Yeah, it was Austin emboldened me and the circumstances just came together so that I was like, I'm going to do it.
What was the first thing you did?
Oh gosh, student films were the first thing I did. I can't even remember they're not good. But they were just, you know, whatever I could audition for that somebody would let me try.
Yeah?
Yeah.
All this stuff on your IMDb thing, they're independent films. There was one that I don't think I wrote down the name. There's one about girls something.
Support the girls.
Yeah. Andrew Bajowski is a local Austin director who is amazing. He casts a lot of his people from Austin. And I have a very small part that he was kind enough to give me and Support the Girls. He's very loyal. He cast me in one of his previous films that I'm blanking on right now because I have a horrible memory. But the fitness one with Guy Pearce.
Oh, yeah,
Guy Pearce. Kobe Smulders.
I was in a movie.
What the heck is the name of that?
I was in a movie with him, Guy Pearce.
Oh, he's amazing. I was not in a scene with him. I've never seen him in my life. But I was in a film that he was in. And Andrew is amazing, and once he has cast you, he seems to be really considerate about calling you back in again.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Yeah. I didn't act with him. I stood behind him.
I mean, that's closer than I got.
I had to stand real cool and make sure that my chain wallet showed. That was super important to everyone in casting at that thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what I was cast for. I think messy hair and a chain wallet.
Yeah.
They were like, you'd be great for to stand back there and do this thing. He's nice. Were you in scenes with him?
With Guy Pearce?
Yeah.
No, oh. I wasn't. The closest I can... I was in scenes with... I'm like just showing myself to know nothing. I can't remember people's names.
Okay.
To save my life.
That's all right.
But she remembers lines like it's nobody's business.
I know what the context of the scene is. I can remember the lines. But I can't remember names. It's like my opposite of superpower.
How do you guys memorize lines? That's a good question for me.
I have an annoyingly photographic memory, as sure you know.
It's not annoyingly. I mean, it's pretty insane. I figured you wouldn't have any problem memorizing lines.
I find that the toughest ones are the real short ones. You have the line that goes, you know, back and forth, and there's a lot of uhs and whats and whos and stuff. That was the biggest challenge in this film because it's such a normal type of conversation. Monologues are, you know, they're kind of a breeze because you've found this rhythm and you kind of know what the next thought is going to be. And so the real short, quick conversations are the toughest ones, I find.
What? I disagree completely. I think the short conversations are the easiest.
Wonderful.
Because whatever you say, it keys me into exactly what I need to say. So I don't even have to think because I hear what your question is. And so I already know what the answer is if I've read it. And I know the context of the scene, then I can pretty much remember what I was supposed to say.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you give me a monologue, I'm like, oh.
Where do I go?
Where do I go with this? I lost my train of thought.
Because they had a lot of wordy scenes, and like our first day there, it was like turns out to be like a 7-minute scene. The one, where she finds out she's not
pregnant. Oh shit.
Anyway,
sorry, I'll fix that.
That's cool. So anyway, but that was the first day and that was the first scene that we shot, and then they nailed it. I mean, we shot, you know, three angles and everything, but it was never an issue with them going line, anything like that. They just came in prepared.
And do have to rehearse a little, and Darren is a crazy good dedicated rehearser. Like, he comes prepared with his lines, ready to go. Because you got to get the speed down for the back and forth, not just like arrive on set never having said it to each other.
I think I would
be nervous to do that.
Is there any room for improvisation? Does he leave you some?
Yeah, and that's where, like, Laura comes in really handy, because she's such a good improviser, you know, and she'll find places that, like, when she and I were in rehearsal together, she said, let's improv on this for a little bit, and let's just play around. And so, like, she is so quick and so sharp and just comes up with these ideas, and so I'm just kind of, and it inspires me to kind of step up to her energy level. And then we take whatever it is that we've, you know, that whatever energy that we found, and we bring that to the set.
Right.
And, you know, so, like, some stuff ends up in the film that that we kind of wrote on the spot.
That's amazing.
That's outside the script.
Yeah. It seems like it would be so hard to actually keep the, to say the lines that you know are written, but then react like it's happening in real time. Like, those things are always things that baffle me. Is it like, how do actors maintain the feeling between different takes?
Right.
To so make that it it's seamless? New every time.
Yeah. How's that?
Talk to them. They're the wizards at that. I mean, because we shoot out a sequence, and so, you know, the stories, you know, you're all over the place, but yeah, they have that surprise and that, you know, that look on their face, like, what are you saying?
Yeah.
Kind of thing. And yeah. So, yeah. Please go on.
Yeah.
for me, it's living in the moment, which is a very well known acting technique. I didn't invent it.
No.
But it's really about listening and responding. So, if you're listening to what the person says to you, you're going to absorb it and respond each time.
Right.
As if it's new.
Right. Is that like that for you?
Yeah, because, you know, you find that acting is all about reacting,
right?
Yeah, you know, and so the key to that is listening, and there's, you know, a little improvisation involved as well. Yeah, you know? So once you've put the main thing is just knowing who your character is. You know, if you've done the homework, if you've taken the time to develop your character and develop the physicality for it, then it helps you to react to something in an authentic way.
Yeah.
So each take, it is like, it does feel like you're hearing something for the first time.
That's good. It's always seemed like it's very hard. I know, Darren, you've studied with Liz Reeder, and I'm sure when you went up to New York to do Lennon and stuff, you studied a lot. Did you study?
I studied Meisner technique with a coach named Laurel Vouvray here in town, who is amazing, my idol.
What is the Meisner technique? Being in the moment?
It is. It's in the moment. And it's been used by a lot of famous actors. I don't know their names.
Okay.
Just referring back to the fact that I don't know names. But it has. And I hear it mentioned all the time. You'll hear it in speeches when people are mentioning that they study this. But it's about being present and reading the other person's behavior.
Right.
So in the moment that you're acting, you're highly focused on understanding the other person's body language, their eye contact, everything that they're doing, so that you're solely reacting to that and you're not acting.
Right.
You're not anticipating what your next line is until you see what they're doing.
Right.
A great example of that in the film is when she finds him on the couch after he's been trying to do something, and he's asleep, she wakes him up from asleep, bring me asleep on the couch, and she's just watching him as he's explaining what he did and why he did it, and her I stay on her longer just because I love her face. It's just like, and then she does these faces that just I love, and, you know, normally you'd be on the person talking, but I wanted her reaction. I loved her reaction, so no, I'm staying here for this. So
yeah, you have a very do you speak Spanish?
Very badly, like high school.
Okay. in my family, there's a couple of people
una
that...
Una cara muy expresiva.
Sí, pero they call it muecosa.
Muecosa?
Yeah, because they call making faces muecas.
Oh my God. I mean, I don't know if that's muecosa. A good thing in action.
No, that's great. That's great. My cousin Emily is muecosa.
Oh, okay.
She's, my grandmother will say that to her all the time. Because she'll just make these faces.
It's inadvertent. My mother would always say, we know what Laura's thinking.
Yeah.
Because it would just be written all over my face. But yeah, I like to think I'm subtle.
Yeah. Yeah, I have a good friend that will, that it's her face is completely... It, she'll be saying something like, oh, no, that sounds great. And she'll be like this. Like, no, you don't think it's great.
What's the word again?
Muecosa.
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 Yeah. Yeah, it's pure communication.
Yeah, yeah. The girl that plays your sister, she's up for an award.
Mm-hmm, Stephanie.
Yes. Yeah, Stephanie. Yes. She's a great actor. I did not like her.
That's maybe good.
Yeah.
That was the point.
She did her job.
Yeah. Yeah. You wanted her to be annoying.
What a mean sister. I have a sister like that.
Cool. I mean, so you can relate now.
Yeah,
like,
yeah,
that was the whole thing. It's like
Darren's sisters are awesome, though.
Yeah. It's like we were.
Well, they are now.
Yeah. Oh, that's true. Yeah, but this girl's doing it like you're a grown up. You got a kids off in college and she's still acting like. Nerd.
Yeah. Because you know I mean? When we saw the auditions, we were looking at different audition tapes, and just the way she says that, some of her things, like, there's a line that she says, I just made my hair go,
Rrr. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I feel it, yeah.
Yeah,
I,
she had it.
Yeah, so yeah, and then I was like, no, she's it, so.
And Robert did a great job, Robert Harrison.
Robert Harrison, front man for Cotton Mather, making his screen acting debut. And he's a guy that has a little bit of theatrical training from high school and college. He just hasn't done it in a long time, but he cares so deeply about getting it right. He and I got together at his place for several hours and worked our scene and just really picked it apart and put it back together. So he was really prepared when we shot.
That's a good scene.
I love that scene. Yeah.
We had him audition, and when he sent us that, I mean, as soon as we saw it, my wife Lisa and I were laughing at it because we just loved him.
Yeah.
I mean, the way he was, his body language and everything, it's like, that's AJ. That's the guy. And so we knew we had him as soon as we saw that.
You produce these movies with Lisa.
Yes.
How do you divide those production responsibilities, and what are they, say, to someone who doesn't quite understand what production is?
She handles the money.
Okay.
I handle what I want. I say, this is what I want. This is what I want to happen. And she says, well, this is what we can do.
Okay.
And this is how it's going to happen. If you want this, this is how it's going to happen. So and when it comes down to shooting, I direct and I shoot and I light, and then she takes care of wardrobe, the set, of our schedule. She's the one over my shoulder saying, we're moving on. Now you better get what you want because we got to move on. And like, I don't want to worry about what people are wearing when they come in. I want to have my shots set and have them sit down. So they come to the set, they look, they go to her. She says, yes, that's good, or change whatever. And then they show up and set. And the sets are already dressed for me by her. And she also does catering.
Oh.
So,
wow.
Full producer.
How's the catering? Good?
Yeah.
All right, good.
Great. Very considerate.
Checking, double checking.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's very nice and seems very easy to work with.
She is. Yeah. I mean, yeah.
She's super easy to work with, yeah. And she watches the monitor to make sure that nothing is like in there that shouldn't be.
Right.
Yeah, she's like,
she has a lot of jobs.
Yeah.
What's that? The Grifters, do you ever see that movie?
Mm-hmm. That? Long ago.
It's a good independent film. Yeah. Or no, not John Cusack, I think, and Angelica Houston.
Yes.
Was Jack Nicholson in it?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I remember Angelica Houston in it.
I remember seeing the microphone in a couple of scenes of that movie. Well, the boom mic. That's Lisa a tough...
Yeah, that's tough to get over.
Yeah.
Kind of takes you out of the...
We were at this gig the other day in San Antonio. It was a party. It was a Game of Thrones party. And they had a costume contest.
Uh-huh.
And my favorite costume, somebody showed up as the Starbucks cup that makes the cameo in the season.
Sweet.
Yeah, they took that out, right?
It was in there.
No, it was that Starbucks cup was in, but didn't they like take it out like the next day? Like now you can't see it.
Oh,
in
episodes anymore.
Yeah. But like for my Ranger, we have a truck,
right?
And vehicles are very reflective, so she was killing me.
I see
whatever reflection. It's like, you're killing me. I want to move on.
Did you have to get permission from Ford for that?
No,
no,
we just did it.
Did they ever reach out and say thanks?
No, because I want them to, because actually the Ranger is being re-released this year, but a new version of it.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So awesome.
I'm hoping to get some Ford love.
Yeah.
And so, yeah. And because, I mean, it is a love story about Ford Ranger. So,
yeah,
you know, why not?
Yeah, totally. There was something else I was going to ask you about the production of it. Or actually, the writing of it. Do you when you write it, you're just kind of done, or do you go through rewrites, or how do you do that?
Well, first thing I do is, and it worked easier with this one because the character is already done,
right. Okay.
For my Ranger. So then I kind of create a story by doing note cards, and so I have idea for scenes, and so they're all over the place, and then from that I make a narrative and a story, and then I write freehand. I just kind of, as a scene comes to me, I go to Barnes & Noble and I find a spot and I just write a scene out freehand. And so then I have all these scenes together and then I put it on the computer and then that's my first draft. And usually we do our reading to the first draft. And so after that, when I hear people say it for the first time,
right.
Where it comes alive, it's like, okay, that didn't work or that needs to work and everything. Because, I mean, we had some really good ideas when we had our table read. And so then I start changing a little, and then the longer you make me wait, the more drafts you'll get, because you just start, you know, the words just, you know, come and go and everything. And yeah
I imagine that would be kind of hard to stop.
Yeah,
you know, to be like, okay, that's it.
Yeah,
even when they're shooting it, you'd be like, wait a minute, this might be better if it was, you know.
Yeah, and then that's why I like just getting if I see the take that I want, I'm gonna stop. Because I mean, some people will just go, well, now that we have that, let's just see where else you can go with it. But that'll just eat up time and eat up their energy. And so if you give me what I want, I'm happy, and what I envisioned, and it's there, mm-hmm. I'm moving on. Okay.
I was listening to an interview. God, who was it with? It was somebody really, a really good actor, but they were talking about how they liked the kind of directors that got involved with their acting. And then there's other directors who are like, dude, I hired you for this. Just do it. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Clint Eastwood.
I hired you for this, just do it, but he doesn't say it like that.
Okay. I think Clint Eastwood says it like
that. He says it like, I hired you for this. You're amazing. I have faith in you. You got this.
Well, when they demonstrate it and you know, you see it and it's like, that's it. I mean, they'll like little nuances we work on. Because, I mean, they'll say, well, why am I doing this? You know, and then because I knew the backstory of the people, and so this is what I feel they would do this, and then they run with it.
Yeah.
And so you just let them go. I mean, because they both are incredible actors and the professional. So I totally trusted them with understanding who these people were, and they did all the homework, and they came so prepared, and they were so invested, and it showed every time we got together.
Yeah, it shows in the movie too. You guys did a really great job. Everyone did. I love both movies.
Sweet.
Yeah. Also, I love the fact that they're like a reasonable length, because movies have gotten so long that like it took me like 2 weeks to go see Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, because I had to like mentally prepare to watch that long of a movie in
Wait,
the theater.
Wait, so you paid and saw it twice?
No, I saw it once.
Okay.
It just took me a long time to get it together.
Okay.
Why?
No, I mean, you saw it in the theater, right?
I saw it in the theater, yeah.
Okay.
Why?
When you say you take it so long to see,
because it's a time commitment.
It took
commitment.
Me 2 weeks to mentally prepare see a movie
okay.
You know, sometimes...
No, like he bought the ticket and then waited 2 weeks.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, like in a comparison to like Knocked Up and This Is 40 to like this sort of story kind of thing, yeah. Going on, This Is 40 is very long. Even though I really like it, it's very long.
It is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Those movies feel kind of long. When did movies get long? Like, didn't they get long like over the last like 15 years or something?
I think Lars von Trier started that.
Yeah. I don't know that.
Is that a
well.
Name you
He's
knew?
Just like it's one of the only names I know.
Well, David O. Selznick started it. Yeah, Gone with the Wind was epic thing. It was like 2.5. It had an intermission.
Right, but there were those movies, and they had intermissions. Like when we were kids, there was like A Bridge Too Far and stuff that were like really long. But then regular movies and like comedy movies weren't two hours and 10 minutes.
Yeah, especially comedy.
Funny People is a long film.
Yeah.
Shut up.
That's another one. And I love those movies, but they are a little exhausting.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a quick question? I know that you're just now, this movie's about to come out. It's about to be shown for the first time, but are you working on something new? What's going on?
Yes. well, we just shot a short. It's called Your First Day in Hell.
Okay.
And so I'm going to work that after we get some of this. But yeah, it was a short, and Darren's actually in it.
All right.
Yes. And it's a lot of ideas I have for movies, they're shorts, and I end up putting them in features.
Right.
But I had this idea about Your First Day in Hell where you had to sit through a PowerPoint presentation as an orientation that I knew wasn't going to end up anywhere. And so my problem when I was trying to come up with it was like, who are these characters? You know, it's like, because I went too far, like, you know, they're mass murderers and all these things. Like, who's going to like that person? And so I worked with these actors and I wanted to work with them again. And so it's like, here's the premise. Come up with your character and I'll write it together. So you tell me who this person is and I'll write a script. And so Darren was one of them. I worked with Katusha Robert and Danny Trevino and Charlotte Delaney Riggs and Tiana Stewart and Chris Prout. And I just, they gave them all homework and they came back with these characters, and it's a 12-minute short. But then after that, I have another feature that I'm starting on.
Okay.
Writing. Ooh. Yeah.
And don't you have another movie called Laura?
I have
like
a super
movie?
Good character for that.
I know, but you were on vacation and we had the movie.
I know, but I just thought of a really good character. Wait. Like the person who steals parking lot spaces from old ladies and like. Yeah, no, I want to do that.
Oh,
I mean, it's subtly evil, you know?
Those ladies. We had a lot from old ladies.
I'm not going to steal from them, not their wallet.
Just their spirit.
Do you have another movie that's coming out soon, Laura?
No.
I thought I saw it on your IMDb.
My IMDb?
I thought so.
No.
You've got some commercials running, though, right?
I have commercials running right now.
What do you got going on? What's out there?
If you want to check me out on commercials, there's a...
Can I say the name? Aspirin cream.
It's so glamorous. Sexy, even.
Yeah.
Dare I say?
Because
I'm bringing sexy back to aspirin cream. This is what I want to go with.
Yeah.
No, I have a hiking aspirin cream commercial.
Okay.
Where I do make it to the top of the mountain.
Is it your knee? What's hurting?
It's my back.
Okay, sorry.
Yep. You know, so it's a back.
I believe her, though. I believe she's cured.
Yeah, they actually said in the audition, it really seems like you're in pain. And I just laughed.
She got all experience watching me on the set of Empty Nester's Handbook. Because I had...
Did hurt
her back. He threw himself on the floor so many times, he really wasn't careful.
Yes.
a home system. But no, I'm writing and making a film with somebody right now. So that's exciting.
What can you say anything about it? What is it about?
About the subjects that I'm interested in, which is like parallel universes and kind of karmic relations and metaphysical ideas, exploring time and space.
That sounds
cool. And reality.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Are you, but do you read like weird stuff?
I read a lot of weird stuff. Yeah. All the time. It's like how I spend my free time.
Yeah.
Is exploring, trying to merge myself with other parallel universes and see if I can jump, you know.
Yeah.
They're right there.
You must have seen What the Bleep Do We Know?
No.
Oh, we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Wasn't Sliding Doors, was that a movie
like
that?
Yes, yeah. That was a movie like that. Yeah, that's, I think.
Gwyneth.
One of the only ones that kind of, like a Choose Your Own Adventure book. I think Choose Your Own Adventure was the first thing that got me thinking.
Yeah.
Then you should see Run, Lola, Run.
I've seen Run, Lola, Run. Yeah.
I love that.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
I remember that movie. That was really good.
That was a very good movie.
That was in that era of like Go and stuff like that, where they did the real
faster
electronica cuts.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was married to a lady that directs. And so I always, like, I got to get insight when we'd leave the movie. She's like, oh, yeah, there's a new thing. Everyone's taking ecstasy, and they're cutting to the electronic beats.
Oh, gosh.
And that's what's happening right now in movies. Yeah. But that was part of that sort of movement of, like, very fast-cut movies.
Yeah.
Hard disco beats going on in the background. Hey, it's a fad. It happened.
Yeah, it did.
Like pretty soon, parallel universe movies might be a thing.
Yeah.
Do you guys? What kind of movies do you guys? You're obviously attracted to story movies, which end up being more independent kind of movies. But where do you stand on like the giant movies, like the
Marvel
superhero movies?
Yeah.
Super giant movies.
Super giant.
Mm-hmm. Well, my wife is all about the Marvel movies.
Yes.
Those are the only movies that she'll go to see in a theater.
Okay.
You know, and so I go to the movies by myself a lot.
You go see those movies?
Sometimes. I'll go to see the big, you know, the big summer blockbusters, you know, because they're fun. But my taste is it's so weird. It just kind of runs hot and cold. Sometimes I'll be into like a heavy drama like Jackie.
Yeah.
I'll go see, you know, something like that, or I might go see a, you know, an obscure documentary about Harry Nilsson, or maybe there's a World War One thing that I was like, I've got to see this in the theater.
The one that the Hobbit guy made.
Yeah. They will not be forgotten.
They shall not grow old.
Yeah, Peter Jackson.
Making the hair of my arm stand. That thing was beautiful.
It was.
I mean, that was beautiful. Do you see it?
No.
It's just like he restored all this footage from World War One.
Yeah.
And yeah, it.
I feel like, do a lot of females watch World War One movies?
My wife does, because I force her to say, this is what we're watching.
We're going to test you on your John Ford Westerns knowledge. Yes. Next.
You know.
I don't really know. I just know that there are a lot of John Ford Westerns, and maybe I've seen one. That sounded like I knew what I was talking about. I did.
Yeah. I would fail. So I'm
you
just
would?
Like, opt out. Yeah, I haven't seen any Westerns, I would say. I'm a straight comedy junkie.
Are you?
For sure.
All
yeah.
Right.
The pretty much the only names of people that I actually know are comedy people. And any movie that's sad or makes me cry, I don't like. And horror movies, never.
Oh.
It's terrifying to me.
Okay.
But whether it's big, whether it's big studio or indie, that doesn't matter to me. Like, they can both, you know, have their merits. Like,
right.
The superhero movies now are mind-bogglingly good. The writing is funny. The storyline and the plot is interesting on so many of them now that I'm just blown away. Because I did think they were nonsense, because I grew up thinking that superheroes were not something I was interested in. And then I saw my first one recently and was like, wow. I think it was the Doctor Strange.
Oh, that one's really good.
And I was just like, this is so interesting. This is so smart. Yeah. And then
it also
we went to Wonder
with
Woman,
your...
and then my son is way into it, so we see them all.
Yeah. Wonder Woman was really good.
Yeah, no, I've been so impressed by all of them recently.
They seem to be following the same path as rap records, you know, because there's all like this one artist and they're teaming up with all these other writers and these albums. And
like as an actor, I mean, are you really going to bash that? Like, you get to seriously pretend you're a superhero for a job?
That's I think that would be really cool, but you know the reality of that. Yeah. Those are guys in a one-piece green suit with no one there and like, stare at this ball. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but for me, it's just like back in the 70s where, you know, you have these shows get bigger and bigger and the drum kits get bigger and bigger until you have like a 20-piece drum kit and all these festivals, and it got so big, it's just, where can you go?
The same thing happened in the 80s, and then all of a sudden, the film thing, all of a sudden, the indie guys,
you know. It's got to come crashing down to the simple singer-songwriter thing again.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, like with Avengers and everything, how much bigger can you get? And so it has to just... shrink down again.
Yeah.
So I'm waiting for that.
Yeah. I was gonna rent that.
Tinfoil Man.
Going back to Bionic Man, 70s style.
That's coming.
It is?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, there you called it.
Yeah.
No, seriously, it is.
Yeah, no, okay. I know.
Okay.
I believe you.
So let's talk a little bit about this movie, the release. The world premiere of it is Wednesday, September 4th at 7 p.m. at the Alamo Drafthouse in Mueller at the Austin Revolution Film Festival. There's some other movies showing that night.
Yeah.
Quite a few shorts.
Yeah.
There's a long list of shorts.
Yes, I don't know those, but yeah, it plays. There are like four shorts in front of it at least, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So, but you have to get there at 7 o'clock because they do not let you in after the program has begun. So you have to be there at 7 o'clock, or otherwise, Draft House will not let you in for the whole thing.
Yeah, they don't mess around over there.
Nope. And nor can you leave early, which I like, because I've been to festivals where they've had a series of shorts before our things, and you have all the people come to support the short, and then after their film is over, they migrate out, and it's like, hey, I came for yours. Why can't you stay for mine? But
where do they place the security guards, before the bathrooms or after?
Oh, yeah, where are they?
I don't know. I don't know how the Draft House police work.
But, I'm on it. fine.
Okay. You'll be stopping him?
I'll be stopping him.
Yeah.
I don't. She's got her AR-15 slung over back. Yeah.
Sit down.
Yeah. No, she does that look. Stop it.
Yeah, in your reel, there's a great thing that you do that is, that's something that all the women in my family do, where you're like, you do this thing where you
push back at
this
guy
and you make this face. It's awesome.
Thanks.
My grandpa, that picture of that old or young dude overlooking his ranch in Cuba, he used to do great things like that. Like, he would just look at you if your feet were on the table and go, yeah. And then walk off. It's amazing.
Your family sounds awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, they can be. They can also be pretty freaky. So is there any kind of Q&A or anything on that?
Usually for the Draft House, they don't do that.
No.
When they have at the hotel where they're having other screenings, they have time for that. But because they have a certain time for the Draft House, in the past, they've gotten us in and out. So I don't know. We'd like to have one, but we're prepared not to.
Well, people can just listen to this show. I mean, I don't know if I'm asking the right cues, well, but you guys are definitely giving great A's.
And but we will be at the bar after the screening, so you can come and talk to us there.
Yeah.
So
I'm going to come. In 80s attire, I believe.
What's that?
In 80s attire.
It's an 80s theme.
An 80s theme.
Oh, really?
Yeah, yes. It's the 8th year of the festival, going all 80s. Hmm. Yes.
Okay.
There will be a costume contest every night, so you could get like a badge or something.
Really?
Yes, every night.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
You can buy tickets for just that night of the festival.
Yes.
Right?
Or you can buy it for the whole festival. Right. Yes. So, yeah.
And the festival takes place for how long?
It starts on Tuesday with screenings at the Draft House. And then it goes all the way to Saturday.
Okay.
Yeah, but the Alamo Draft House screenings are only Tuesday and Wednesday. And then from Thursday through Saturday is where it's at the Crown Hotel, which is on 35 and 290, whatever that is.
Where it's my Ranger screened?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. They used to have like a painting, you know, buy these paintings. And, you know, we buy paintings for your couch and everything. It used to be like a Red Lion Hotel, but now.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Every Saturday used to be like, you know, buy this painting.
The passes are really affordable.
Yeah.
Especially compared to other film festivals that shall not be mentioned.
Yeah.
That occur around here, and it features heavily Austin artists.
Yeah.
That are really doing good stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. All of them. I wanted to touch on Darren's song, Wasting Our Time. That's not a song from a songwriter, but that song's been around for a while. I've heard it before.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I wrote it a long time ago.
Yeah. It's a great song.
Thank you. And I really didn't have anything planned for it. It was just something that came up spontaneously. We had this little sequence in the film where Ben and Sarah are out doing Austin-y things.
Yeah.
And before we even shot anything, David had said, hey, I'm looking for a song to fit over this sequence. Do you know where I might find one? And I started looking through, you know, I was like watching this description, and I thought, I wonder if. So I sent him a copy of.
Actually, I have to correct him on this piece of history. So before that, I just wanted a story. I wanted a song about the story, about a couple. And so there was no montage. Once I heard the song, then there became a montage because I loved the song so much that it's got to have its own home. I didn't want it buried under some moment, so I love the song so much. It's like, no, it's getting its moment, because before I just wanted some song that kind of tell a story, because I think the example I gave you was he used to be a blaster, Dave Alvin. He had this song called Wanda and Dwayne, which I always loved, and I wanted some kind of story of Ben and Sarah, and it's like, yeah, anything like that. And so he came back with this song, and it's getting a montage, it's having a moment. So I created a moment just because I love the song so much.
Wow. That's awesome. Yeah. And you filmed the recording of it?
Yes.
Yeah.
Had to.
Yeah. It's a beautiful video, too.
The song has kind of taken on a life of its own now, because initially it was like, well, we've got a song for a film and we've got to record it so it fits sonically. And, we'll film the sessions and stuff and we'll have some fun with it. But the song, with the reaction to the tune was so positive with people that heard it and the musicians that played on it. So I thought, well, maybe we've got a song that can actually do business. So I'm releasing that as a single.
Awesome.
To help promote the film.
Nice. You know, I guess you could make a Spotify playlist of the songs on your movie.
Tell me how that works, but yeah.
Oh, yeah. I'll show you how, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because, we have permission from all the artists, and I'm sure, you know, but I had to get with each one, but yeah.
If there's stuff's already on there, then you're just putting it on a place where more people will hear it, so you're not.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah. I don't think they would be mad. But yeah, the song's beautiful, and you recorded it at David Rice's place, the Clubhouse.
Yep.
With Bruce Hughes, Chris Searles, and Scrappy, and Trish.
Yep.
Yeah. How did you guys record it pretty much live like that? Is that the...
Yeah, yeah, we sat around.
There's a little overdub of a slide, right?
Yes.
Because I was trying to figure out if you did it live or not.
That was really the only overdubs that we did. And I went back and recut the lead vocal at my place, and we flew that in. But I sent the song to the guys in advance, and I think we spent a little bit of time at our rehearsal space working out the structure of it. And then they came in, and David set us up in a circle, and we played it really low volume. It's the first time that I'd ever done anything like that. Just playing live, no headphones.
Yeah.
Just going with it.
Yeah.
And it just felt great from the very beginning.
Was that was your idea? Was that Scrappy's idea at all? Because that's like his, like he's almost insistent on that. Like at this point, that like as little to do later as possible. Like.
Well, I knew that I wanted to do it live.
Yeah.
Yeah. As much as we could get done live as possible, and so everybody was on the same page with that. And so, you know, David Rice did a terrific job of setting up the mics and setting all of us up in these, you know, strategic positions. So there's plenty of bleed over from drums will show up in different mics, and, you know, maybe guitars will show up in the vocal mics, and it doesn't really matter.
It's beautiful, though.
Because we're just all doing it together. And then David Reyes came in with his film crew and just worked around us.
Yeah. You have a great crew. You guys are really invisible in that. It's like, that's what I thought the other night. I was like,
thank you.
You know, yeah.
That's our goal, is that we don't want to be the, we don't want to change what we see. We just want to capture it. And so, yeah, just kind of blend in and get the shot and don't be a problem.
Yeah. What's your website?
X-Horn Productions, the letter X.
X-Horn Productions.
Horn Productions. Okay. X-Longhorn.
And people can get these tickets at austinrevolution.com.
Yes.
Okay. That's where you can find them. The tickets are, like, for the night, I think, are, like, $22, and for the whole festival is $80, so it is rather affordable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's definitely affordable and worth it if you have free time to go.
Yeah.
Come go with me.
All right.
I need people to see movies with.
Everyone will be out there to see this movie. Darren, you're about to leave on tour with Todd Rundgren, Christopher Cross, Joey Mullen, the Chicago guy, Mickey
Jason
Dolenz.
Schiff. Yeah. Yeah, we're gonna.
How's that coming?
It's going pretty good. I've been, we're getting our flights booked and all this stuff. We're gonna rehearse in Nashville for a few days before we go out. So, we're all starting to talk to each other now, and sharing charts and starting to iron out the musical details so that we can hit the ground running, because we don't have a whole lot of time to get it together.
No.
But everybody is really doing their homework. It's refreshing.
Everybody's doing their homework, but you didn't have to. I mean, I know that you probably did a lot of homework, because you're incapable of not doing homework. But you didn't have to really study that hard to learn those songs that well, because you know them inside and out, like on almost every instrument.
I thought I did.
Wait, quickly. 20-something years ago, my friend Einar, my friend JJ, and I were going to do some Beatles thing, and we were trying to figure out this song in the rehearsal, probably super high, or like, man, this is really hard, this is terrible. And I was like, you know what, let me call this guy Darren. He'll do it. He'll come and help us. And so Darren literally taught us all of our parts on all of our instruments before we played. So, yeah, I know you didn't have to...
Yeah, he's humble.
In the 8 years I've been doing this show, you can never predict what day or time the yard guys are coming. They just come whenever I have people in here and there's a lot of microphones on.
They hide in the bushes. They wait.
They just wait. They see people coming and they're like, oh, no.
That happened on our shoot a lot.
Yeah. Did it?
Yeah, yeah, it was like the neighbors were poised with their leaf blowers and they're like, wait till they come outside. Go, go, go.
As far as this guy and musician and music, so for my range of that first guitar bit that Jake is playing, so I wrote something, I created something, and I hated it. And so I sent it to him, and I said, okay, I want him to do something like this on screen. So it's got to be rough because he's 17. I don't want it looking too good.
Right.
But this kind of vibe I want. And so I sent it to him, and he sent me that track, basically that guitar riff, back the next day. And then he taught it to Jake, and Jake can play on his own. But then he also tech to guitar for me, tuned it and everything. So before we even shot that scene, he was tuning and getting the sound right of the guitar and everything. So yeah, complete, guys, like, you're like, wow.
Yeah.
I just needed help with the track, and like, wow, you took it off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also, you were playing bass left-handed. Like, that's what happens when a musician watches one of those movies, is you're like, well, okay, Jake looks pretty normal playing that guitar part, and they're like, what's Darren doing playing left-handed bass?
I had like about an hour to teach myself enough to get through the scene.
But he looked good.
He's still ham-fisted. Like.
Yeah. How people, DarrenMurphy.com, is your acting stuff on there?
DarrenMusic.com.
DarrenMusic.com.
I'm really, I hate to say this, but I've been sort of, I can't get in to edit my website, so it's so antiquated now. You know, the best thing to do is just kind of get on my Facebook page, and I'll put up links to the video and to the single when it comes out in a couple of weeks.
Okay, I'll do the same on the podcast thing, and I'll put links. This is going to come out. We're doing this on Wednesday. This comes out next Friday, a few days before the premiere. Where do people find you, Laura? Except outside of IMDb,
do you have local a website? Grocery stores doing demos. That's
what do you do demos? Tell me about that.
All
what
over
do
you town. Demo? Local natural food products.
Awesome.
Currently, Good Pop.
What's that?
It's delicious popsicles.
Oh, awesome! Yeah. And they're good for you.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I mean, reasonably so. They have nothing bad in them except for organic cane sugar, which I mean.
That sounds good.
That's not too bad.
Yeah, is that your cell?
I know, right? No, my cell is better than that.
Okay, reasonably.
I always like to say they're good for you. Really, I mean, but it's still a sweet. But it's got nothing artificial. I mean,
okay.
If you want me to do a commercial right now, I can. But no, you can't find me anywhere. Facebook, I guess. Laura Francis.
Yeah.
With an E because I'm a girl, and Francis is spelled with an E. If you're a girl, for people who don't know.
I didn't know that.
Pet peeve of mine that no one knows that. I feel like it's common knowledge.
Oh, yeah.
But it isn't. It's only me who knows.
There's St. Francis, and that's with an I, and then there's Francis.
If you're Catholic, Bean. You should know because they differentiate it. But.
We should all be Catholic here.
I am. I
Murphy,
know that.
Reyes, Gowdy.
I was raised Catholic. Yeah, I was. Yeah, that's named after a saint.
I don't know all my saints, so I'm sorry.
Well, people, get out and check out these movies. You can find My Ranger and Trip into the Altar on Amazon Prime. I did not see Trip into the Altar, but I will now see it. And you can go to AustinRevolution.com to get tickets for the movie. It's premiere at the Austin Revolution Film Festival Wednesday, September 4th at 7 p.m. at the Alamo Drafthouse. Mueller, is there anything I'm missing?
That's very complete. I mean, this is our third film that we're going to be having at the Austin Revolution Film Festival. And we just want to say that we love premiering there because James Christopher and that whole crew are just so intent on really shining a light on independent filmmakers. They make it their job to make you feel as welcome and being as encouraging as they can. So we love this festival above all other festivals that we show at. So
that's awesome. Are you sending it to other festivals too? Yeah. Submitting to all of them?
Yeah. More than 10. I don't announce it until we get accepted because it's bad luck.
Yeah.
But we have a full plan. But yeah, we love premiering and screening at Austin Revolution because of the way they treat filmmakers.
Good.
Yeah.
Well, I'll be there. Anything else I'm missing, you two actors, fabulous actors from both movies?
I think you nailed it all, Johnny.
All right. This is a. It's weird. It's also not only weird seeing your friend doing love scenes in a movie, but then also interviewing your friend as well is also kind of awkward. But I think we did a good job.
You guys did great.
I know.
All right. Well, great job on the movie. And everyone get out there and see it. Thanks, guys.
I'm glad to see us wasting our time for a change. A welcome change from the way we worked like.
Empty Nesters Handbook writer-director David Reyes, and it stars Laura Francis and Darren Murphy. What a great, I love the movie. That was a great conversation. I want to thank them all for coming over. Now, gang, the world premiere that we talk about, the world premiere of Empty Nesters Handbook, Wednesday, September 4th at Alamo Drafthouse. Mueller for the Austin Revolution Film Festival. Gang, that is sold out, but I have good news for you. There has been a second screening added Thursday, September 5th, and it is at the Crown Plaza Austin Hotel. I don't know exactly how they're going to show these movies, or I'm sure screens are big enough now where it's like almost like watching a movie. I don't know. Go to austinrevolution.com to find out more about that Thursday screening. All right. I did get my tickets to the world premiere on Wednesday, September 4th, and I really did enjoy the movie, and I'm looking forward to seeing it again. Now, if you cannot see this movie right now, I suggest that you go on Amazon Prime and rent My Ranger. That's the prequel to this movie. Okay. Now, in this movie, the story is about the son. Obviously, we talked about it, getting a car, coming of age. And Laura and Darren play the Benjamin and Sarah still, but they're a little more side characters in that movie. And this movie, you get to see what they're really like when the kids go away. So yeah, man, go watch My Ranger. Go to austinrevolution.com. See if you can get tickets to that Thursday, September 5th showing of the movie at Crown Plaza Austin Hotel. Okay, I want to thank Darren, Laura, and David for coming by and doing the show. It was great talking to those guys. Great. Fantastic. Always great to talk to Darren. Get to talk to him about what he's doing. He's doing a lot of stuff. And I actually just came from rehearsal with Darren. I've had a lot of Darren today. Maybe not enough. There's a daily requirement of Darren out there that you should probably take, much like vitamin E or C. Hey, gang, while you're out there checking out Empty Nester's Handbook and looking them up on Facebook and stuff, don't forget that you can subscribe to this podcast wherever it is you find your podcasts. And that'll be Spotify, Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, Android Podcast, wherever it is you find your podcast, tune in. They got a new show every Tuesday and every Friday talking to people. Have a great weekend, whatever it is you're doing. I'll be thinking about you. Enjoy some more of this music. This is my friend Darren's song, Wasting Our Time. Let's get down.
Glad to see us wasting our time for a change. A welcome change from the way we worked like horses back in the day. Once in a while like a wreck, but what you expect from a couple of slobs, I think we've come a long way. I used to sit at home night after night by the hi-fi, looking to B-sides for life's hidden treasures, the guilty pleasures. Make a stand when you ain't got a friend. You should be so glad you didn't know me back then. I wouldn't have been someone that you'd find attractive. But the retroactive never applies in the end. I'm glad to see us wasting our time for a change. A welcome change from the way we worked like horses back in the day. And who remembers the last little thing that we said, or things that we've read into the words of each other day after day? And sure, the house looks once in a while like a wreck, but what you expect from a couple of slobs, I think we've come.